Good morning, brethren. Welcome to church. Hope you're ready to sing some praise to the Lord. The fellowship sounds excellent, so keep it going after the service as well. But please take your hymnals now and turn to hymn number 114. Hymn number 114. We'll begin by singing The Great Physician. Hymn number 114. And when found, can you please stand? 114. 114. The Great Physician. Yes, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your Son's name, the name of Jesus. And Lord, as we come to your house this morning, we do uplift that name, the name that's given us salvation, who's given us forgiveness of sins. And Lord, we just come as a thankful people, Lord, for everything that you've provided, all your blessings, Lord, and the promises that you have for the future. So this morning, Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, our minds, that we would not be distracted by anything else, but to give you our full attention, to praise you, Lord, and to hear from your word. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, 196 now. 196. I will sing the wondrous story. 196. I will sing the wondrous story.
Went astray through his loving arms around me.
247, keep that singing going. 247, saved, saved, 247, saved, saved, and then we'll have our Bible reading. Great singing. Okay, can you please take your Bibles now? Please take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Brother Jason's coming up for the reading. Galatians chapter 5. Thank you.
Galatians chapter 5, the Bible reads, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ have made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offence of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfil the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Dear Lord, I just want to say we love you. We love your word. This morning I pray, Lord, that you be with us, and especially lift up Pastor Kevin, that you fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and let him just preach your word with power and authority today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, thank you, brother. The singing sounded so great this morning. I reckon we should just do one more song. Is that all right? If you guys don't mind. I'll just ask for a favorite because I haven't got something written down. Does someone have a favorite they'd like to sing? Anybody? Yes, brother? Sorry? Channels Only. You know what? I think that's my last song in my list. Hold on. Wait a second. I got Channels Only at the end of the sermon. Do we have another favorite? Yes? Hymn number 45? Let's just do one more song. Hymn number 45, When I Can Read My Title Clear. Hymn number 45, When I Can Read My Title Clear. And then we'll come back to Galatians chapter 5.
Me, oh, then I
Please take your Bibles once again there in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, and the whole book of Galatians is all about people come into a church and trying to remove what salvation, the gospel is, you know, the freeness of salvation, faith on the finished work of Christ alone. And you've got certain Judaizers come in, and they're trying to bring in aspects of the law to bring the church under bondage, things like circumcisions, different aspects of the law. They're trying to bring that into the church and bring people under a burden. And if you have a look at Galatians chapter 5, and just verse number 1 there, it says, stand fast. Stand fast means be firm, be unmovable about this. Stand fast, therefore, the next words, in the liberty. Liberty means freedom. You know, Christ has made us free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ have made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Salvation is free. Salvation has been paid for all in Christ Jesus alone. And we're commanded to stand fast, be unmovable in this area. Now, when we talk about verse number 1, this is very clearly about salvation. Verse number 1 is clearly about salvation, isn't it? That we've been set free. We've been set free from the power of sin. We've been set free from the wrath of God. Okay? And it's all free. We've been given liberty. Okay, now, here's the thing about Christian living, though. Some people think, okay, salvation is free, I've been set free, but now Christian living is all these rules and regulations, and it's so hard to live. It's like it's prison to live this Christian life that pleases God. No, you've got it all wrong. Okay, if you drop down to verse number 13, look at verse number 13. This is not about salvation now, this is about your Christian living, because it says, for brethren, so what's a brethren? Someone that's saved, right? A brother in the Lord, someone that's already saved. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. See, salvation gives us liberty, but now that you are saved, you've been called unto liberty. You know, God has given us a life of freedom, a life of liberty. And then it says these words, because some people think, well, what are you saying, Pastor? Are you saying that, you know, we have a license to sin? Are you saying that we should just go against the word of... No, because it continues there. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. So don't be like, well, if God's given me liberty, therefore I'm just going to do whatever my flesh desires. You know, I'm just going to go out and sin. I'm just going to go out and break God's laws. No, don't use your... Do you have liberty to do that? Yeah, everybody has this... You have your own liberty. You have the freedom to decide now that you're saved whether you're going to live a godly life, a righteous life, or whether you're just going to give into the flesh and do what you want. You've got the liberty to do that. But the commandment is, don't use your liberty for the occasion of the flesh. We should not use the liberty for that. Let's keep going. But by love, serve one another. Serve one another. So what I want to show you that, verse number 1, God has given us liberty in salvation. But not only in salvation. Now we are called to live a life of liberty. Just don't use your liberty for the flesh. Okay? The title for the sermon this morning is Individual Soul Liberty. Individual Soul Liberty. We're continuing our statement of faith. And in our old statement of faith, I did not have a topic on individual soul liberty. When I was looking for different churches, some have it, some don't. Individual soul liberty is often referred to as a Baptist distinctive. That we've been given liberty to read God's word, to follow the Lord God as we see fit. You see, other churches, let's say the Roman Catholic Church, for example, You know, they do not believe in individual soul liberty. They do not believe that the individual is accountable to God. Their view is that the individual is accountable toward the church, okay? And as a collective, then God will accept you by accepting the Roman Catholic Church. It removes the individuality of the person and it puts you into some type of universal church system where God just looks at you through the lens of a collective, the lens of a larger group. But we see here, no, God has given us individually liberty. Now, under this statement of faith, and this is so important, because as I preach this, you're all going to agree. I believe that. I agree with that. But what I find within, especially within fundamentalist churches, that yes, they understand the doctrine, but they don't live the doctrine. Okay? They don't live it because they've got a messed up view of what fundamentalism means. But this is what it's going to say in our statement of faith under individual soul liberty. We believe that every Christian must obey God rather than men. You know what that means? That means you must obey God rather than me. I'm not God. Okay? Rather than men. It says, for all must answer to God before the judgment seat of Christ. Did you know you're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ individually? You're going to be judged by God, not for your sins, but you're going to be judged for what you've done on this earth individually before the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, this is what it's going to say, therefore, no man nor church has the right to act as a person's conscience. Everyone has the right to read the scriptures and to choose how to respond according to its teachings. Now, if I was running a cult, I would hate this doctrine. If I just wanted everybody to be exactly the same and exactly like me, and you know, I'm in charge, you got to listen to this man, and if you want to be right with God, you need to listen to this man, we can run a cult. And we can remove individual soul liberty. But no, God has given us liberty. Okay, cults want to put you in under burdens. That they want to put you under the laws and give you great fear that if you just step out of line, then you might lose your salvation or that you'll be discarded out of the church and nobody would care about you or talk to you. That's what cults do. Brethren, we're an independent fundamental Baptist church. You know, we're a Bible-believing church. A very important concept that God has given us. We're all accountable. This means we all have to come to a point of understanding that we're sinners in need of a Savior. You know, children, you're not going to go to heaven just because your parents are saved. And children, you're not going to go to heaven just because you attend New Life Baptist Church. You individually need to come to a point in life. Say, yes, I realize I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. What did Jesus do for me? He died. He was buried. He rose again. He paid for my sins. He's given me the freeness of salvation. He wants to give me liberty. Yes, Christ, I accept that truth. Yes, Christ, I'm trusting you and you alone. I'm doing it, Lord. I'm trusting you, myself. We all have to have an individual response to salvation. And then we are individually accountable to God for the life that we live. All right, this is what individual soul liberty is all about. Now, when this is not practiced in a church, number one, the church becomes like a cult. Okay, this is when pastors begin to lord over the flock rather than being an ensample unto the flock. Okay, this is when pastors start to not respect the boundaries of families. You know, they do not respect the boundaries of your life. And not only will they take authority within the church, which is right and proper, but then they'll start trying to take authority in your family. They'll tell you how to live your life. They'll tell you who to marry. They'll tell you when you can go on holidays. They'll tell you when you can get divorced. They'll tell you whatever it is that's in their hearts because they start to lord over the flock. They want to take charge of people's lives and people's families. No! We're individuals. We've been given liberty to read the Bible yourself. Okay? Read the Bible yourself. I encourage you to do that. How do you know what I'm preaching is correct? Unless you go and read the Bible yourself to begin with. See, we've all been given this responsibility. See, if we don't respect individual soul liberty, you have a pastor lording over the flock. That's number one. But number two, and I'm telling you, I'm talking about 99% of conflicts that I've seen in churches, not just my church. But other churches, it's because people don't respect this individual soul liberty. They think it's my right to go to someone else and tell them how to live. because I'm holy, I'm righteous, I've been saved longer than them, so I need to go in and tell them what to do with their life. You cross those boundaries. You don't respect. People like individual soul liberty for themselves. Oh, yep, nobody should tell me. You know what's between me and God? But then they have a hard time practicing it to others. They don't respect that others have individual soul liberty before God too. Such an important doctrine. Something I strongly believe. You know, we are a collective. Yes, we are. We are a church. We're here to serve and love one another. But let's not remove the individual from that. Okay? We're all individuals. We have different personalities, different strengths and weaknesses. The Holy Spirit has given each one of us a gift to serve this church. We're not all going to be the same. We're not all going to preach the same. We're not all going to act the same. We're not all going to respond the same. We're not all going to have the same families. We're not all going to dress the same. And we have to respect that. Okay? Because we're all on a journey, aren't we? Individually in our walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason I said this causes conflict, because if you keep going, the Bible pretty much reinforces this. Let's read verse number 13 again. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And you'll soon see that this occasion to the flesh is not just sin in general, but it's conflicts. Okay, because then it says, rather than the conflicts, but by love serve one another. Okay, you know what this means? This means that if you respect individuals, you will respect the individual. And you say, you know what, I'm going to serve the individual. I'm going to love the individual in this church. I'm going to love and care for each individual family that's in my church, even if they do things differently to how I see things. So it's going to help you to not have, you know, not to put your expectations on someone else, but it's also going to help you in life not to be like wondering, oh, what does so-and-so, what does brother so-and-so think about me? What does family so-and-so think about us? Who cares? What does God think about you? That's what individual soul liberty is all about. Let's keep going there. Verse number 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But then look at verse number 15. But, so you can see it's all connected, right? This is not a separate verse. But, if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. I want you to see that. You know, liberty, again, allows you to respect the other person. Just because they do things differently, you're not going to get all upset about it. You know, I strongly believe, and I believe the Bible strongly teaches, that it is the man's responsibility to work hard and provide for the family. To get out there and work hard, right? Now, let's say there's a family in our church. It says, hey, pastor, heard your sermon. You know, I see where you're coming from. But we believe, you know, by our own study of God's word, we believe that wife should be out there working a job, maybe because she earns more money, whatever reason, okay? And the husband, the dad's going to be the house husband. And that's how we're going to run our life. Am I going to lose sleep at night about it, do you think? Do you think I'm going to be tossing and turning, oh, that family, I can't believe it. Do you think that? Like, I strongly disagree with their position. Let me say that. I strongly disagree with that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that whatsoever. But I'm giving you a sort of far out example there, okay? But look, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'm not going to be, okay, now I'm going to start a series on men, you know, a 10-part series on men working a job, right? Just to address that one individual family. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. And you know what? If I do something as a family that another family in this church does not agree with, whatever, it's between me and God. Again, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. And because I'm not going to lose sleep over it, I'm going to be at peace. That means I can come to church and be at peace with you. But when you let things bother you, you know what that creates? Creates divisions. Creates conflicts. Starts to bite and devour. I can't believe family so-and-so raises their kids this way. It's none of your business is what it is. Okay, you raise your kids the way you believe the Bible tells you need to raise your kids. It's between you and the Lord. You're accountable to God. I don't agree how this lady brought morning tea, you know, to the church service this morning. It's between them and the Lord. They're serving the Lord. I don't like how so-and-so cleaned the church this week. They're serving us. They're acting out of love. They're doing it for the Lord. Leave them alone. Stop biting, devouring, You know, just because they don't see eye to eye with you about something so insignificant, something that should not matter to you, we're all going to be judged at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ for what we've done for him. And I promise you, if you practice individual soul liberty, not just believe it, but you practice it, you're going to be at peace with people. You're going to be at peace at church. You're going to find it easy to love one another, even though they operate so differently to you. Let's go to Romans 14. Turn with me to Romans 14, verse number 1. Romans 14 and verse number 1. Romans 14 and verse number 1. Now, we're going to read verses 1 to 10, but we'll just go through it quickly. Romans 14 and verse number 1. I'll give you a moment to turn there because I really want you to see it. Romans 14, verse number 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. You know, if someone comes into church and they're weak in the faith, you know that they come to church, they just tick the box, and Monday to Saturday, they're just living for the world. They're just living for them. They're just weak in the flesh. They're weak in the faith. You know, they may be carnal Christians, they're backslidden, whatever it is. But they come to church. You know what? Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. I'm going to receive that person. I'm not going to just point out all their faults and say, brother, what are you doing in church? You know, no, because church might be the only thing that's keeping them going. It might be the only thing that sparks a little fire back in their belly and gets them right walking with the Lord again. People can be different. People can have disputations, disagreements of how to do certain things maybe. But verse number 2, it says, for one believeth that he may eat all things, that's pretty much, I think, the majority of us, okay, except when I'm on keto. But, you know, we're eating all things. Another who is weak, eateth herbs. You know, if someone says, you know, I just want to be a vegetarian. You know, I just want to eat, you know, is that correct? Is that what the Bible teaches? No, it's not what the Bible teaches. But is it wrong? Is it sinful to just eat herbs? No, it's not sinful. You're not breaking the laws of God, are you, by eating herbs? No. But, hey, if someone thinks that this is something that makes them right with the Lord for whatever reason, they're weak in the faith. They just haven't got the knowledge of the Scriptures. Sometimes people do that because of health reasons. Fine, whatever. You know, if someone wants to eat herbs for health reasons, leave them alone. It's individual soul liberty goes everywhere. It goes as far as what you eat. Okay, verse number 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. You know, ladies, I really appreciate the morning tea that you guys bring, but I don't want to create an environment where one lady says, oh, I don't like what they've brought. They do it unto the Lord. If you don't want to eat what someone else brought, then don't eat it. Someone else will eat it. The support for the kids will eat it, pretty sure. Okay, someone will eat it. Okay, just do it unto the Lord. We're not in competition, are we? Individually, we're not in competition. Look at verse number 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. You know what God is trying to do? Causing each one of us to stand firm. God is trying to make us all to grow and to be like Christ. But when we find a brother or sister not walking the way that we think they should be, oh, we want to tear them down. We want to judge them. And God is trying to lift them up and you're trying to tear them down. Who are you to judge another man's servant? Who are you to judge another family? Who are you to judge other people's children? Leave them alone. Practice individual soul liberty. I promise it'll make you much happier. It'll give you so much more peace in life. Verse number 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. We just had Christmas. Some people want to celebrate Christmas. Some people don't. Some people are indifferent. Who cares? Some people want a Christmas tree. Some people don't. It doesn't matter. Someone wants to elevate one day above another. We've got Australia Day coming up. You want to enjoy Australia Day? Go out with your family. Enjoy the public holiday and celebrate Australia for at least being one of the best countries in the world at the very least. Go for it. And others says, you know what? I don't like Australia. I don't like the wicked laws. I don't like our wicked government. I can't celebrate Australia. Well, don't celebrate Australia then. It's up to you. Okay? And if someone invites you for Australia Day, hey, come over to my house and let's celebrate Australia Day. Come over for a lunch. And you go, I don't celebrate that. Well, who cares? All right, just say, look, thanks for the invite. But, you know, I've got other plans. How about that? Okay? My other plans are not to celebrate. Instead of making people feel like they're rubbish for steaming one day above another. Everyone, it's up to you. Up to you how you decide to do things. Up to you which days you're going to celebrate, right? Or not celebrate. Or just view every day alike. To me, every day is special. Because it's all been created by God. God's given us every day. A new day to live life. A new day to serve Him. Let's keep going there. Verse number 6. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. You might say, Australia Day, okay, I know it's a wicked nation. I know there are wicked laws. I know there are 250 abortions happening every single day in Australia. But I'm going to thank God for putting me in this nation. I'm going to thank God for the liberties that I have, that I can go soul winning. I have the liberties to go to church. I have the liberty to read my Bible without persecution. You might want to celebrate that. Celebrate unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Now we're learning something else. Not only do we have the liberty to decide what to do, but we don't live to ourselves and we don't die to ourselves. Meaning, yes, liberty is great, but now we have accountability for the way that we live. Okay, we're not living for ourselves, we're living for the Lord. How well are you living for the Lord? Okay, liberty is great. Woohoo! I got freedom. Yeah, but you're accountable to God for the decisions you make in life. Because it continues in verse number 8. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and living. Then verse number 10. So understanding this, okay? He's the Lord of the dead. He's the Lord of those that have passed away. He's the dead for those that are still alive. Okay, Lord means he's in charge. You know, Lord means we're his servants. He's the boss. Therefore, we're accountable to him now with the liberty that he's given us. But then it says in verse number 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Why do you judge your brother? Why do you go home after church and say, I can't believe family so-and-so did X, Y, and Z at church, or I can't believe that this family doesn't eat around the dinner table like we do. I can't believe this family lets their kids go and play video games for 10 hours a week, whatever, I don't know, okay? I can't believe, listen, forget it. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Leave them alone. They're accountable to God. They're living for the Lord. They're accountable to him. Let God deal with them. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? What does that mean? Why dost thou set at naught? Naught is zero. Why do you make them nothing to you? You know, when you start to judge your brother, when you start to criticize, you're saying they are nothing. They don't know anything. Look, I'm sure this sermon is going to touch someone here today. Because this is what churches are. We're all different people, individuals, families, and we're just very critical people. Saying, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. You are. So am I. Okay, individual solidarity is so important, though. Okay, to have unity in a church. All right, it's so important. You know, I want this in our statement of faith. I want people to, let's find out about this church. All right, this individual soul liberty. We're not here judging one another. We're leaving the judgment to God, is what we're doing. Okay, because it continues there. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're all accountable to Jesus Christ for the life that we live. You've got freedom. You've got liberty. Okay, I might not agree with you. All right, but God's going to judge you. Christ is going to judge you one day. Not whether you're going to heaven or not, that's a done deal. Okay, Christ has already given us liberty. He's already given us a home in heaven. Heaven is a done deal. But now, how is God going to reward you in eternity? Remember, we're commanded to lay up treasures in heaven and not on this earth. Well, depends on how you live your life, how much you served Him, how faithful you were toward Him, how well you kept His laws, how well you used the liberty that He gave you to serve Him, to serve one another, to love one another. He's going to judge you on that and reward you in heaven based on that. If you live for yourself, you take liberty and just give into your flesh, you'll still make it to heaven, but you won't have much up there. You won't have much to rejoice in for the work that you've done for the Lord. Okay, but we're all individually going to stand before this judgment seat. And to me, that's a humbling thought, to stand before Jesus, who gave His life for me, who paid for all of my sins, and then to say, what did You do for me? Lord, I was just criticizing every family at church. And you know, the other parents, they didn't raise the kids the way I raised my kids. And that's just stupid. That's wicked. Okay, we have individual soul liberty. Now, when we talk about our church, we're an independent fundamental. Some people have removed that word fundamental. I love that word fundamental. We're a fundamentalist church, Baptist church. You know, it used to be that IFB was a common term describing churches like ours, but a lot of churches now remove the F. We're just independent Baptists. Okay, I think that's not, you know, first of all, the term fundamentalist was coined by Baptists to begin with. I don't know if you know that or not. It was coined by a Baptist. Okay? And it meant that basically we believe in the foundational doctrines of the Bible, is what it meant. Okay? We believe in the blood atonement. We believe in the miracles. We believe in the virgin birth. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in these fundamental doctrines that make up the Christian faith. That's what a fundamentalist is supposed to be all about. But what's happened over the last, say, 20 years is that the media has taken this Baptist-coined word and applied it to Islam, Islamic fundamentalists. And what they mean by that is Islamic extremists, Islamic terrorists. And so what's happened within the Baptist world? Panic. We don't want to be seen in the same light as extremists and terrorists. Therefore, let's remove the word fundamentalist from our church or from our title, from our description. No, it's a Baptist coined term. Okay, fundamentalist is talking about our foundations, the basis of what we do when we come to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I said to you, fundamentalism is meant to be all about the foundational doctrines, okay? The doctrines that are part of the Christian faith. If you remove yourself from some of these doctrines, you are no longer teaching a Christian faith. Like if you start to deny the Trinity, that is no longer Christianity. If you deny that Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man, you're denying Christianity. You're creating a new religion. You're creating a cult. You're creating something new that is not Christianity or biblical Christianity. That's what fundamentalism is all about. But here's the problem that I've seen, that when we talk about going to a... When people talk about being a fundamentalist, what do you think pops in someone's mind? Oh, that's a fundamental church. That's a fundamentalist church. Do you think the first thing in their mind is, oh, therefore they believe, you know, they take the Bible literally, you know, they're Bible believers. Do you think in their mind they're going, oh, they believe in the doctrines and miracles of the Bible, they take all that literally? No. You know what most people think when they think of a fundamentalist church? Oh, it's one of those churches that sings the old hymns and the women wear skirts. That's what people think today. Oh, you got a fundamentalist church. Oh, you must read from the old King James Bible. You know, oh, you must be the church that, you know, has 25 kids per family and you all homeschool your kids. See, people think of the word fundamentalist with the way you live. Okay? And then they think, if I come to that church, they're going to enforce, because they're foundational things, they think what is foundational to us is how we live our life. No. What's foundational, what's fundamental are the doctrines. Okay? That's what's important. But I guarantee you, maybe even right now, there's someone in our church that thinks fundamentalism is talking about the way we live. And if you don't homeschool your kids, you're not a fundamentalist or something like that. You're wrong. Because what does that breed? That breeds judgment. Looking at other people, oh, your kid goes to regular school? How selfish. Oh, you homeschool? What lazy parents. Bet you they play video games all day instead of being taught anything. That's not fundamentalism. Okay, again, fundamentalism are the doctrines that we hold, the fundamental truths of God's word. Okay, and then we build from that. Fundamentalism is not how we live our life and build from there. Because if it was that, then we would be a cult. Then we would be judging one another. Then we would be saying, hey, is that woman's dress, you know, I think that's a little bit too low there. Is it more than two finger, you know, fingertips length from the neck? I don't know what the people... But people are like that. I'm telling you, people are like this in independent fundamental Baptist churches. I'm telling you now. Mothers are looking at other daughters of other families and going, I think that's just... There's a bit too much shoulder on that dress. There's just a bit... there's too much back there. And look, if you've got your standards and that's how you want to raise a family, do it. Individual soul liberty. You have the liberty to decide how you want to do things. But this does not give us the liberty to judge other families or other people. And this protects you. You know, it protects you as well. Where you have boundaries, where other people cannot judge you for the way you've decided to live your life. Okay? And there's freedom, there's peace, there's acceptance when you accept this truth of the Bible. Okay? Come with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And I know I've preached on this before many times, but I just like this very simple truth. In the book of Genesis, especially the first few chapters, things are very straightforward. Around the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, all right? And most, I would say pretty much all doctrines, I think, you know, that are just the most important doctrine of the Bible are going to be found in the book of Genesis. And individual soul liberty is found in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 2, after God created Adam, it says in verse number 15, Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. All right, so he gives Adam a job. Verse number 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you can only eat of one tree, Adam. Don't touch any trees except one. That's the only one you can eat from, Adam. Is that what God says? Now let's read it again, verse number 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Does that sound like liberty to you? Adam, whatever you want, whichever tree you want, Adam. All the trees. I don't know how many trees are out in the garden. Hundreds, maybe. All with the fruits, without the curse on the earth. I mean, the mango must have tasted even better, right? I mean, the strawberries were probably the size of your head. I don't know. And just think about how good fruit is and then how wonderful it would have been in the Garden of Eden. God says you can eat of all of them, Adam. That's very free, isn't it? But then he says in verse number 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The only thing I want to take away from there is the liberty, the freedom that God gives to Adam. Adam, go for it. Unlimited choices. You know? But sometimes people think a fundamentalist Baptist church is this. Pastor, which tree should I eat of this morning? Pastor, which tree should I eat of for morning tea? Pastor, what tree should I eat of for lunch? Pastor, you know, what tree should I eat of at dinner? It's like, there's hundreds. Go for it. Choose. Just don't eat of that one tree that God said not to eat of. Just don't cross the boundaries and sin against the Lord. Don't use your liberty for the occasion of the flesh. But there's liberty. There's liberty. There's freedom. Some people don't like this though. They like the idea of just one tree. I promise you, if there were some independent Baptists that were God and they created man, they would create one tree. Eat of this tree, Adam, and that's it. Because that's how they like to live their life. No, it's liberty, it's freedom. You know, was it Wednesday when I said I'm not in competition with other churches or other pastors? Because there's liberty. Okay, we usually sing four hymns before this. We did five hymns. Guess what? There's liberty. Right? It's okay to sing an extra hymn. Right? I just want you to see God's heart toward Adam. He doesn't want Adam to be just restricted Christian living. It's like, man, I can eat of anything I want. Let's go, man. That's fun. That's enjoyable. You see, liberty gives you joy. Okay, it gives you options. It makes life a bit more fun, a bit more adventurous. As long as you're respecting the boundaries of not breaking God's laws. Let's keep going. You're in Genesis 2. Let's drop down to verse number 18. Something else I want to show you here. Verse number 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone, but I will make him and help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam, look at this, to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. What else? God brings all the animals to Adam. All right, Adam, you have the liberty to decide what you're going to call the animals. And God just watches on. All right, go for it, Adam. All right? Like, Adam did not go, all right, this one's got a long neck. God, what do you reckon? Giraffe. Okay. All right, no, it wasn't like that. God says, all right, Adam, I've given you the liberty of all the trees. Now I'm giving you the liberty to name every animal. That's how God operates. Okay, the same God that created Adam, the same God that gave Adam liberty, is the same God that's given you your individual soul liberty. Okay? And again, I'm not saying you've got a license to sin. I'm not saying just go ahead and sin. You know that's not what I'm teaching. Okay, don't take my sermon out of context. But there is a lot of freedom. There's a lot of different ways to live life. There are a lot of different ways to raise children and to raise your family and to lead your home and to work your job and to... There's lots of ways to do things. Be respectful toward other people that choose to do things differently to you. Come with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 26. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 26. It says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. You might want to say deceive. This seducing people to false teachings, false understandings, false doctrines. I want you to notice verse number 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. You see, the moment you got saved, you've been anointed within yourself. This is speaking about the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit in me right now, and I hope the Lord is using my spirit to preach you God's word. Okay? But you have the Holy Spirit within you as well. Okay? You've been given that anointing as well. And therefore it says, and you need not that man, any man teach you. Isn't that interesting? But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. You see, the Holy Spirit teaches each one of us that are saved. We all have the right and the ability to open God's word and say, Lord, by your Spirit, show me your truth. Church is important. Church is something that God commands. You know, God has appointed, ordained men into leadership, pastors, etc., teachers, all right? Because generally speaking, this man is often able to use the time to go and dig in deep and teach God's word when other people may not have that time, okay? And so, of course, by experience, by the study, by the length of time, you know, of course, I'm going to be teaching things and maybe I'm going to open your eyes to certain things. But that should not stop you and say, well, therefore, the only way I can learn God's word is by coming to church. No, you open God's word. You utilize the Spirit of God that is given you. And you ask God to reveal truth unto you. Look, I'm not so prideful to think that every word that comes out of my mouth behind this pulpit is always true and always perfect. Because I still have stuttering lips. You know, my vocabulary isn't that great. Sometimes my brain can be thinking about something, but out of my mouth comes something else. This happens a lot. Okay? Therefore, you have the ability also. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Lord who teaches you. There is nothing that I should be able to teach you that you yourself cannot go to God's word and find out by yourself. If I'm teaching you something and you're like, I just don't see it anywhere in the Bible, Pastor. I mean, I know you've said that, you know, and you're teaching that, but I just don't see anything. That, well, you know what? Go with what the Holy Spirit has taught you. Sometimes I am going to pop out my opinions from time to time. Okay, my hope is my opinions are lined up with the scriptures, but my opinions can be wrong. Will you go with what you see in God's word? What God, you're accountable to God, not to me. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not before the judgment seat of me. God has given you that anointing. Please don't think, I need to learn something from the Bible. You know, switch off the YouTube sometimes and just open God's word yourself. Okay? Stop becoming dependent on other men. You don't need for men to teach you. You've got the Holy Spirit. Would you want to be taught by man or by God? Okay, then turn off the YouTube. Okay, get your head into the Bible and say, God, teach me. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. And then after you've been taught by God, then turn on the YouTube and listen to other people, okay? But make sure you do not neglect this part of your life. Every person has the right to read their own Bible. Okay, this is not the Catholic Church that says, oh, the Bible's too hard for you to understand. No, it's you can understand it. And I'll show you why. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Do you want to know the deep things of God? You need to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, reveal this to me. Teach me, Spirit of God. Guide me as I read and study your word. I'm not the Holy Spirit of God. No man is the Holy Spirit of God. I try my best to be a vessel for the Spirit. I try my best that God will use me. You know, I try to empty myself of my flesh as much as I can to come and preach you God's word. But at the end of the day, I'm still a man. I'm still a faulty channel, okay? But you can have direct access to the Spirit of God through his word to be taught. Verse number 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You know, right now I'm teaching spiritual things. Okay, you say, I've heard it, Pastor. Okay, great. No, it's not enough. You compare spiritual with spiritual. You take something else that is spiritual, God's word, and you say, look, I heard Pastor preach this. I heard the preacher say this. Now let me go to God's word and compare spiritual with spiritual. You need God's word. You yourself are to take this Bible and compare what you hear. Verse number 14. But the natural man. Now the natural man here is, yes, we would say it's the unsaved man. Yes, it is. But the natural man is also a man you've got. That's your flesh. Okay, so you can apply this in both ways. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The only way you can understand or discern God's word is by the Spirit. Okay, the natural man does not receive it. You know, if you're in the flesh, right? If you're in sin and you're far from the Lord and you're just, you haven't confessed your sins to the Lord recently and you're just living for yourself, when you pick up God's word, you're going to have a hard time understanding it. You're going to start doubting God's word. You're going to start thinking, oh, maybe the Lord does not really require that of me. I'm just going to go my way, I think, here. That's the flesh. Hey, because remember, you have liberty, but don't give it the occasion to the flesh. Don't be the natural man when it comes to the things of God. Use your liberty. God has given you the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you liberally great wisdom of His word. So take hold of that for the new man that God has given you. Okay, now you can discern the things of God. Now you can understand the scriptures. Before you read the Bible, say, Lord, help me to just put that flesh away, the fleshly carnal understanding that is contrary to your word, and help me read the Bible through the lens of the new man. All right, and the Holy Spirit will be able to teach you great truths. Verse number 15. Now, this is also important, okay? So let me use that silly example again. You say, Pastor, I read the Bible. I believe my husband should be the house husband, and the wife will go out and work a job. Let's pretend. You know, for some reason, that's your conclusion, okay? Verse number 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, okay? Then it says this, yet he himself is judged of no man. You know what? If you read the Bible and you come to a conclusion, okay, not by your flesh, but through the Spirit, you come to a conclusion that differs from mine, I am not to judge you. You are not judged by any man. This is why you have your own soul liberty to decide. Okay? Hey, when you know God's word, you can judge all things. You can say, okay, Lord, this is my life. I know your word. You've taught me truth. You've guided me through your word, Lord. Now I have the liberty to judge my life and to decide how I'm going to do things. But not for another man to step in and tell me how to live my life. Because I'm not being taught by another man. I'm being taught by the Spirit of God that I have within me through the word of God that you've given me. That scares people. You know, that scares pastors to say such a thing. Because then they think their church members are going to go out there and live a wild, crazy life or something. Oh, Pastor, I don't believe that. I believe God wants me drinking alcohol and going clubbing. Yeah, obviously, all that is sin. Okay, obviously, that's giving occasion to the flesh. Okay, that's not where we're going with this. I'm talking about the liberty to decide. You say, Pastor, which tree do you like to eat for breakfast? I don't know, maybe the banana tree over there. Say, well, I prefer the orange tree. All right, go have the orange. Go eat the orange. Go for it. You have the liberty. All right? As long as you're not giving into your flesh, as long as you're not sinning against the Lord, you choose. Go for it. Please don't think, oh, I better not do this because what if Pastor finds out? I mean, if it's sin, well, that's something else. But I'm talking about just life in general. I'll tell you quickly now. Like, we're trying to figure out, my wife and I, we're trying to figure out a time where I can go. Like, since we started the church in 2017, we've not had a family holiday. Like, everything's been ministry, week in, week out, whether here or in Sydney or etc. I think I need a little break. I need just maybe two and a half weeks or something just to leave ministry alone, to go out there. And someone might say, oh, Pastor, you shouldn't do that. I don't think that's right. I'm not judged by any man. I need a recharge. I need to spend time with my family. I haven't even gone to look at Southeast Queensland all that much. I don't even know really what's out here too much, except what's just locally. I'm not judged by any man. No, I'm not there wondering, oh man, what's the church going to think if I disappear for 2 weeks? You know, but some people have a hard time. It's just like everything that anyone does or decides to do. It's like, I've got to give my 2 cents. I don't care about your 2 cents. Your 2 cents is not going to change my life, but God's word is going to change my life. Your 2 cent opinion does not matter. Okay? It matters in your life what it matters. What God has guided you, what He's instructed you. If there's something that God is teaching you this morning, and you know you've compared spiritual with spiritual, then you make a decision. You have the choice now. Lord, how am I going to apply this to my life? again, I'm not going to come to your house and enforce the rules of the Bible into you. You have liberty. You have choice. You decide. And by your decision, don't forget you're accountable toward Jesus Christ. Okay? You're in there in 1 Corinthians 2. Look at verse number 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that interesting? Let me read that again. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? So like no one does. No one knows the mind of the Lord, but the Holy Spirit does. Remember we saw that earlier. And because you have the Holy Spirit, and because the Holy Spirit can teach you, it says here, but we have the mind of Christ. Amen. The one that teaches you. You know, you ought to care what Christ thinks about you. Right? You ought to care what pastor thinks about you. Or what this brother at church thinks about you. Or what this sister in church thinks about you. Hey, worry and concern yourself. Not worry, but concern yourself with what Christ thinks of you. Know the mind of Christ by knowing God's word, by being taught by his Holy Spirit. Then when you know what Christ thinks about you, now you can make the right decision in life. What is the right thing to do and what is the wrong thing to do? And then you've got liberty to decide what you're going to do. I want you to really, really appreciate this doctrine. It's so important. Narcissists do not want you to believe this doctrine. You know, in church, generally speaking, people try to be more trustworthy, more open, more caring, more loving. Hopefully, that's usually the kind of people that gets drawn toward a church. But you know what also draws people toward a church? You know who else gets drawn toward a church? A narcissist. Because they know I can take advantage of people at church. And before you know it, your life is dedicated to someone else. They're telling you what to do in life. They're coming to your house uninvited. You know, they're telling you how to raise your kids. They're doing whatever they want in your life. You know what? And they don't appreciate you. You do your best to appease them. You're doing your best to be to love them. They don't appreciate it. People come in like this and they do not respect boundaries. I don't want a narcissist, and we might have narcissists in the church. I don't know everybody, to come in and start commanding someone else's life. When you understand individual soul liberty, you'll say to that narcissist, hey, get lost. I'm accountable to God. Leave me alone. Okay, if there's any narcissists, get out of here. I don't want you in church. I don't want you trying to take control of people's lives. I don't want you taking control of people's families. Because all you're going to do is cause division in our church. I don't want you here, even if you're saved. I don't want a narcissist in our church. Okay, I want, you know, If someone's like very saved for a long time, a Christian for a long time, right with the Lord, holy living, right? You're like the standout Christian in the church. And you come up to me and say to the Christian who's living the most godless worldly life, you say to me, hey, pastor, you know, we need to do something about so-and-so there because, you know, they're not living up to the right standards. You know what? I'm going to respect that person's individual soul liberty. And I'll say to you, you know what? You care about brother so-and-so? Go and take it to the Lord, who's his Lord and master. You take it to the Lord and you leave him alone. You pray for him and you love him and you stop tearing him down. So this is what individual soul liberty is. Okay, we're at all at different stages in our Christian growth. And sometimes in our Christian growth, people are going backwards. Leave them alone. Pray for them. Okay, ask the Lord to intercede. Okay, you respect your own soul liberty, you respect their soul liberty. They're accountable to God. Okay, the Lord will act upon that person at the right time. I'm going to quickly read to you from Acts 5. Can you please turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. I'll quickly read to you from Acts 5. In Acts 5, we have Peter and some of the disciples trying to, they're going out in Jerusalem, they're preaching Jesus Christ, and of course the religious leaders, they don't like this. Okay, you guys go to Hebrews 13, and the religious leaders, the chief rulers, they don't like the fact that the disciples of Jesus are preaching in the name of Jesus, and they try to withhold them, restrict them. But then you have these words in Acts 5:28. This is their response, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Verse number 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. You know, in the families, children, in your families, I know I'm teaching individual soul liberty, but God has commanded children to be obedient to their parents, to honor mother and father. Okay? That's the right thing to do. That's what God instructs of you. All right? So if I preach something behind this pulpit and dad says, no, that's not what we're going to do, I don't agree with Pastor Sepulveda on that issue, this is what we're going to do as a family, then you say, yes, dad, because the Bible says to honor mother and father. I have no authority in your family. You obey mom and dad. Okay, that is the right thing to do. God will look down and bless you when you obey mom and dad, because that's what God has asked you to do. You obey God rather than men. I'm a man. Okay, God does not say, let the pastor enter your family life and tell you how to run your home. Children, God says, obey mom and dad. Honor mom and dad. You do what is right. We're all accountable. If mom and dad are doing things wrong, guess what? They're going to be accountable to Jesus Christ on the day of judgment. Okay? So that ought to be your mindset. You ought to obey God rather than men. If I preach something and you say, no, Pastor, I don't believe that. I believe God says otherwise. All right. You obey God rather than men. Individual soul liberty. Hebrews 13, verse 17. So I'm talking about the family home, talking about you as individuals. Let's talk about the church very quickly. Because individuals with soul liberty might be, all right, Pastor, I'm tired of these old hymns at church. I reckon we should bring in the Hillsong. You know, it's King James. Let's bring in the NIV. Let me use the NIV for just a quick example, though. All right, we're a King James only church. Okay, we believe it's a perfect preserved word of God in English. Okay, I'm not going to apologize for that position. But if you decide and you say, Pastor, yeah, okay, I'll bring it to church, but at home we read the NIV. Do I agree with that? No. Do you have the liberty to read it? Yes, you do. Can I come into your house and strip every NIV out of your bookshelf? No, I don't have the right to do that. Okay? But if you bring the NIV to this church, I will strip it out of your hands and throw it in the bin. Okay? Because the Bible says in Hebrews 13, 17, obey them, these are the words of God, of course, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So even though we have individual soul liberty, I don't want you to take that liberty so far where you think, Pastor, you step down, I'll preach today. No, no, no. You obey the one that has rule over you at this time in the house of God. Okay, so if I say, hey, throw that NIV in the Bible and pick yourself up a King James Bible, you do it. Okay, because I'm accountable. I'm accountable to God for this church. I don't want to face God one day and my church, oh yeah, they all had NIVs because they taught individual soul liberty, Lord. And so they just decided to all bring NIVs and new King James Bibles to church. No. Thank God he at least still has authority, you know. And you can see, we're talking about accountability. I've got to give account to God for this church one day. Hey, and if you do it, if you help me do it with joy, you know, if you say, yes, Pastor, I would throw it in the bin. I'll pick up, you know what? And that would give me joy. This is profitable to you. If you dig your heels in and you disobey and you become rebellious at church, it's unprofitable for you. Meaning, there's not only rewards for the life that we live individually, but there's also rewards for what we do as a church. Okay? So, do you want extra rewards because you're a great church member? Then obey the one that has rule over you. But remember, my rule is here at church. Once church is over, I no longer have rule in your life. Come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 9. The next point, and I've already kind of touched upon it, but just a little bit further. Don't forget, with personal liberty comes personal accountability. Okay? With personal liberty comes personal accountability. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 9. I've already spoken to you about the judgment seat of Christ. This is not the great white throne judgment where non-believers are going to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. We're talking about being judged for what we've done for the Lord here at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. So even though we have liberty, we want to live a life that is accepted by God. That's acceptable by God. Okay? Why? Because in verse number 10 it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Look at this. That every one may receive the things done in his body. Everyone, every man, woman, and child that is saved will stand before Jesus. And Jesus will say, what did you do with your body? How did you serve me? Receive the things done in his body, whether to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. So I'm saying, hey, with your liberty, choose to do good. Choose to do that which is right, because then the Lord will reward you faithfully for your service and love toward him. If you choose to do that which is bad, bad is not sinful, okay, because we're not going to be judged for our sins. Our sins have already been judged by Jesus Christ on the cross, okay? Like, God's not going to bring up all our sins on Judgment Day. They've already been paid for by Jesus, okay? It's all been nailed to the cross, okay? The Lord's died for our sins, okay? But the things that are bad are things that are just not profitable. The things that add no value, the things that have no eternal value, the things that we've done that may not be sinful, but like, God's not going to reward me for watching a soccer game. You know what I mean? But is it sinful to watch a soccer game? It's got no eternal value. It means nothing, okay, in the scheme of eternity. Those are things that are bad. Okay, when you say a piece of fruit has gone bad, you're saying it's gone off. It's not profitable. You can't eat of it. Okay, it's not saying that fruit is sinful. We're not going to stand before God in sin. The sin's been taken care of already in the body of Christ. But I want you to see, you're accountable. Okay? Please don't walk away going, oh, great, Pastor told me individual soul liberty. So I'm just, you know what, I'm just going to live how I want. You know, that's it. I don't care about the Bible. I'm just going to do what I want. Well, you're going to stand before the general sin of Christ, and God's going to find a lot of bad things about your life that are not profitable. You're not going to receive the rewards that God wants to give you. Hey, do that which is good. Use your liberty for good. Cover me to another passage, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 6. Hebrews 12 and verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 6. As I said to you, with personal liberty comes personal accountability. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 6, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth. That's like whipping. Okay, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You see, you do have liberty. But if you take your liberty and do that which is wrong, God will chasten you on this earth. Okay, God is going to bring hardships upon your life to correct you. Verse number 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? You know what it's saying here, parents? If you don't correct your children, if you don't chasten them, if you don't scourge them when they do wrong, what kind of parent are you? That's what it's saying. It's saying you're not a parent. If you're not raising your children and applying some corporal punishment from time to time for the wrong that they do. Because even God does this to us. Even God will chasten us when we use our liberty and we do things that are contrary to him. You see, with personal liberty comes personal accountability. You're still accountable to God. Okay, I'm not here to judge you. God's going to judge you. And don't be surprised when your life becomes extremely difficult because you're far from the Lord. And then it says in verse number 8, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. A bastard is someone without, you know, earthly parents or without a father. Okay? We're not bastards. We have a heavenly Father. We're sons. Okay? It says, if you be without chastisement, it says, whereof all are partakers. We've all, you know what? If you've been saved for a period of time, we've all been partakers of God's chastisements. Because we've all used our liberty and done things that are contrary to God. If you've never been chastised by God, then you're a bastard, is what you are. You're not actually even saved. You know what? If you see God's heavy hand upon you and you recognize, boy, I know why I'm receiving this. I know where my heart's been far from the Lord. I've not been walking in His ways. Okay? Then that pretty much confirms for you, you know what? Therefore, I'm saved. If God loves me enough to correct me when I've done wrong, to make me accountable, you know, in this life when I walk paths that are contrary to His will. Yes, God will correct us for our sins that we live in our life in this world. But don't forget, the accountability continues in heaven when we stand before His judgment seat. God's going to say, wait, what did you do of profit? What did you do of value for my name's sake? So don't forget that. I'm not saying, hey, decide whatever you want. There's no consequences. There are consequences. But those consequences aren't going to come from me. They're going to come from the Lord. Okay? All right, brethren, individual soul liberty. I hope you understand this doctrine. Not just understand it, I hope you live by it. I hope you stop criticizing your brother or sister in the Lord. I hope you stop being passive-aggressive toward people, even in prayer. When we get together in prayer, let's use the example again. The family that said, my husband's going to be the house husband. And we get together on Wednesday night prayer meeting, right, after service. And like, dear Lord, thank you for the church. And Lord, I just pray that every man would get out there and stop being a house husband. And he would stop sending his wife out there to labor and work hard and provide for the family. That's being passive aggressive. That's being very judgmental. Leave them alone. All right? Hey, take that. Yeah, pray for that family if you want to. Take it to the Lord alone. Take it to the Lord God. You don't have to be judgmental in prayer. I'm just being righteous. No, you're being judgmental. You're being critical. Leave people alone. Okay? They're not accountable to you. Don't be a narcissist. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. You know, we live for Him. We die for Him. We eat for Him. We drink for Him. We serve for Him. Our life ought to be the Lord's. Stop being the Lord over other people. Stop being critical about other people. Okay, when you get home from church this afternoon, enjoy your family. Enjoy your time. Stop talking bad about other people at church. It's not your place. And at the same time, the reverse is true. Stop worrying about what brother so-and-so or what sister so-and-so or what family so-and-so thinks about you and your life. Stop it. You're accountable to God. God's going to judge you. You make sure you're doing what God expects from you. Individual soul liberty, it's such a beautiful doctrine. So important for the peace and prosperity of our church. In summary, brethren, in conclusion, once again, what's going to be in our statement of faith under individual soul liberty, we believe that every Christian must obey God rather than men, for all must appear to God before the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, no man nor church has the right to act as a person's conscience. Everyone has the right to read the scriptures and to choose how to respond according to its teachings. All right, let's pray. Yes, Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much for the liberty that you've given us in Jesus Christ. Lord, the freedom, the free gift, Lord, that you've given us. And Lord, not just that, but we thank you for the liberty that you've given us in the Christian life. For the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you've given upon us to teach us all things, to learn the great wisdom and truth that comes from your word. Lord, I just thank you for every teaching, Lord, every doctrine that you've opened our eyes toward. Please use this pastor, Lord, to teach without error. Lord, I know I still make mistakes in life, but please, Lord, use me to be a vessel unto you to guide and to direct this church in the paths that you would want us to walk, not just collectively, Lord, but also individually. Lord, help us to also understand this doctrine that we are accountable to you. Lord, help us to reassess and to judge everything that we do in life to see whether it is acceptable unto you. And Lord, if it is not acceptable unto you, Lord, give us the zeal, the passion, the drive to make the necessary changes, Lord, that would make a life that is holy unto you. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please take your hymnals. And 332. 332, channels only. 332. 332, channels only. 332, channels only.